Well, I'm going to take a wild guess that there are loads of people in this room who love to begin things. A new project, a new recipe, a new puzzle book, a new book. But finishing them, well, who needs to finish things anyway? Some people, on the other hand, even when they get near the end of a tube of toothpaste, they flatten it out, fold in the top, and squeeze out every last little drop. They have to finish things. And I hate to break it to those of you who would rather unceremoniously fling their toothpaste away before actually finishing it, but God always finishes things. Finishing what you started is godly. And there you go. I've ended that toothpaste debate in your house. But in all seriousness, God does always finish what he starts. And that's what we are going to see tonight. We're back in the letter of Philippians, right near the beginning. The Apostle Paul has just said hello in verses 1 and 2. And he's just gently reminded us that as Christians, we are slaves of Christ and we are saints in Christ, sustained by God's grace and peace. And then in verses 3 to 8, where we are tonight, Paul speaks about God finishing his work among his people. It's a really famous verse. I'm sure lots of you know it well. And Paul wants the Philippian church to know this: the Lord has united them for gospel progress. So he's confident the Lord will finish that work among them. The Lord has united them for gospel progress. So he's confident that the Lord will finish that work among them. The Lord always finishes what he begins. See, Paul isn't speaking primarily about individual salvation or perseverance of the saints, though it definitely includes it, definitely. Paul is speaking about being a community of believers partnering together for gospel progress. It's the Lord who is responsible for starting and finishing the good work of uniting his people for gospel progress. He's responsible for every gospel partnership. He starts them with this end in view. So in these opening verses, Paul is setting the tone for the whole letter, which we will see. He's saying this: we're all in this together, and we're moving forward together for the gospel. It's wonderful. Well, let's just walk through what Paul says now. He says three main things which are all connected, and I'll just summarize them now, and we will go into more detail after that, don't worry. First, in verses 3 to 5, he thanks God for their gospel partnership, which God began when Paul visited Philippi. Then in verse 6, he says he's confident God is going to finish what he began among them. And then in verses 7 to 8, he explains that it is right for him to feel this confidence because God is clearly at work among them. In the first part, he gives joyful thanks because, and if you're taking notes, firstly, God begins and continues gospel partnerships, verses 3 to 5. God begins and continues gospel partnerships. Just come to verse 3 with me now. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's really hard to miss, isn't it? The Apostle Paul's explosive enthusiasm for the Christians in Philippi. He loves that church and he wants them to know that he's praying for them constantly. And that when he does it, he is filled with joy. Joy is a big theme of the letter of Philippians, and we're going to see it coming up again and again and again. At verses 3 to 5, they're actually just one long sentence in the Greek. So Paul says in verse 3, I thank God when I remember you. And it's only until verse 5 that he tells them the reason that he's thanking God. It's because of your partnership in the gospel from the beginning. Paul thanks God because of their partnership in the gospel. See, he reminds them that it's the partnership which began when he first came to Philippi all those years ago. You remember when we looked at Acts 16 a couple of weeks ago and we saw the incredible culture of sacrificial discipleship there. They supported him wholeheartedly in the gospel work right from the get-go, didn't they? Well, Paul sees that it's all God's work. And that's why he thanks God rather than the Philippians for their partnership. He's not thanking them, do you see that? When he thinks about their incredible gospel partnership, the one he thanks is God, not them. Because he knows that the real gospel partnership has been begun by God. Well, later on, Paul underlines this fact by emphasizing that the way the Philippians have treated him, which demonstrates that the Spirit of Christ is driving this partnership. Okay, so Paul rejoices as he gives thanks to God for both beginning and continuing their gospel partnership. Do you see that? And you know, it's such a joy for me to see how you all show this spirit of partnership in the gospel in so many ways. Lots of you are working hard together for the gospel for the progress of the gospel here in the lives of all of God's people, whether they've been brought home yet or not. I know that lots of you share in each other's troubles and provide for each other's needs. You show deep gospel partnership as you pray for each other and as you study God's word in small groups, as you help with evangelistic events and many other things. And it's not only among members here, but with gospel workers further afield. For example, we partner financially with UBM, the mission agency, and I recently read their annual report outlining some of the wonderful gospel ministries that have been made possible in part because of the support that we give them. Brothers and sisters, we all love Christ and we're all committed to him. And so we all love his body, the church. We all partner together with the same goal, the unstoppable progress of the gospel in the hearts of those who belong to him. Let's continue to praise God for opportunities to partner together for the gospel. And let's thank God for the incredible partnership in the gospel that's begun among us. So firstly, Paul shows us God both begins and continues gospel partnerships, and he gives joyful thanks for them. And next in verse 6, he says to the Philippians this, "I am confident that God is going to complete what God began among you." And you know, the NIV does say "in you" there, but it could be legitimately translated "among you." And I think "among you" makes much more sense given the context. Well, let's look at, there's a lot to unpack in that. We'll look at that later and we'll come back to it. Don't worry. But I want to move on just briefly. Paul is confident that God will finish the work he started. And then after that, in verses 7 to 8, Paul explains it's right for him to feel this confidence because God's power is clearly at work in among the Philippians. So point 2, God is clearly at work among the Philippians. That's verses 7 to 8. God is clearly at work among the Philippians. If you were to see a shark holding a knife and fork, it'd be so obvious something out of this world is happening, wouldn't it? And for Paul, the gospel partnership he experiences with these Philippians is so obviously out of this world. It's clearly the work of God. These Philippians are otherworldly. They're new creations. They're doing things that no normal human being is actually capable of without the power of Christ flowing through their veins. They love wholeheartedly like Christ. They give sacrificially like Christ. They suffer willingly like Christ. And all this fills him with confidence that it's going to continue. Why? Because whatever God begins, he finishes. And it's good. And we learn that from the very beginning of the Bible, don't we? He finishes the good work. Well, Paul mentions some specific things which are in place among the Philippians here. And to him, this is such strong evidence of the work of God that he can say that he is confident God will complete his work. My sister came to visit us when we moved into our home here, and she brought with her a broken lawnmower. Thanks, sis. All it needed was a new cam belt, though, and she had ordered, to be fair to her, she had ordered it online to be delivered to our house. But when it arrived, it was the wrong size. I didn't realise until I'd unscrewed what seemed like 1,000 different bolts in this lawnmower to get access to the motor. If you don't have all the right things in place, you can't have any confidence that it will work. So I ordered the right size cam belt. When it arrived, it was the perfect fit. I haven't told her this, by the way. I just said thank you. You know, I had complete confidence that it would work because all the right parts were then there. And it did work. Well, Paul is filled with confidence that God is going to complete his work among the Philippians. That's what he says in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he says, it's right for me to feel this confidence since, first, I hold you in my heart. And secondly, you share with me in God's grace. In other words, it's right for me to feel confident that God's work is going to be completed among you because he is clearly working among you now. The way Paul sees God at work among the Philippians is in their supernatural gospel partnership. That's what these verses are describing. And it's a two-way thing. Look at the middle of verse 7 there. He tells them these two things. Firstly, he holds them in his heart. This is the language of partnership. And secondly, they all share in God's grace with him. Partnership language again. There's incredibly deep and mutual partnership being demonstrated, which can only be explained by the work of God. Do you see that? Whether Paul is defending or confirming the gospel, the Philippian church is completely supportive of him in every way. They all work hard together with him for the progress of the gospel. Just like we can be confident that a lawnmower is going to work when all the right parts are there, in a similar but, of course, infinitely greater way, we can be confident that God is working when deep mutual partnership in the gospel is there, when all the parts are there. Well, in verse 8, Paul says, God is his witness that he longs for all of them with the affection of Christ. And more literally, it says he longs for them with the inward parts or the bowels of Christ. It's amazing. That is deep affection. Is there any deeper affection that we can have for one another? And this is just what happens when Jesus Christ is at work in us. His desires completely take over ours. And Christ longs to be with his people, the church. He longs for them to be together and to be united. Paul is absolutely consumed with the Lord Jesus. And that is why he longs to be reunited with the other members of the body of Christ, the church. It's almost like he's longing to have one of his own limbs reattached. So what does real gospel partnership look like? Well, the partnership between Paul and the Philippian church included some of these things. It included financial aid, holding believers in his heart, defending and confirming the gospel together, sharing in God's grace. And then later on in Philippians, we'll see that it also included sharing in the challenges and the persecutions of believers. See, real gospel partnership simply looks like showing the very affection of the Lord Jesus Christ to all his people. Those who have already trusted him in him and those who are yet to trust in him. And friends, we can be confident that God is working among us when we see deep mutual partnership in the gospel like this. And again, I just want to encourage you all. One of the reasons why Lydia and I were so keen to come and partner with you in the gospel here is because we sense that the Lord is working here among you. There's gospel partnership going on everywhere. You do hold each other in your hearts. You pray earnestly for the gospel to grow, not only in your own lives, but in the lives of everyone else. You welcome each other into your homes. You provide for each other. You reach out into the community to show and share the gospel as often as you can. You display the affection of Christ for one another. And you partner with other gospel churches in the area and with missionaries. Your partnership in the gospel is evidence that God is working among you. Praise the Lord. Can I encourage you this evening to keep pressing on with joy, together for the gospel, knowing that the power of God is at work amongst us as we do. So what have we seen so far? Firstly, we've seen that God begins and continues gospel partnerships. And secondly, we've seen that God is clearly at work among the Philippians through gospel partnership. Okay, so let's come back to verse 6, shall we? I want to show you that the good work that Paul mentions here is the good work of gospel partnership. So thirdly, God's good work is their gospel partnership. Verse 6. There's a huge cathedral in Barcelona, perhaps you know it, it's called the Sagrada Familia. It's been under construction for 142 years. No, that's not a joke. The original design and construction partnerships have transformed and merged over the years. Each partnership that has been started has resulted in more of the building being built. There's an end date for all of these partnerships involved, but by then, each one will have played a part in completing that final building. And that's just a little bit of what it's like, what Paul is describing here in verse 6. I realise that potentially there will be people here tonight who've read this verse and assumed that the good work that Paul is talking about here is individual work in each believer. God is making us individually more and more like Jesus each day. I just suggest to you this evening that although that is true, God is working in each one of us individually to make us all like Jesus. But what Paul is saying here is much, much bigger. Paul is saying that we are all partnering together in the unstoppable movement of God, which has a timetable, it has a completion date. It's God's great movement of salvation, finishing at his return to earth. I need to say that faithful evangelical Christians do differ on the interpretation here, but I want to just give you three quick reasons to believe that the good work Paul is talking about here is actually, it's gospel partnership that he's talking about. So firstly, just the context. Everything surrounding verse 6 is about corporate partnership in the gospel, not individual progress in holiness. And this is made really clear when you see that Paul is talking still to a group, not to individuals. And second, the continued theme of beginnings. Just look there in verse 5. Paul says the Philippians all partnered with him together in the gospel from the first day. Or we could say from the beginning. He says, I'm confident that what God began, he'll continue. You see, God began a gospel partnership. That's the good work. And that is what he's going to continue. And then third, Paul tells us that the work is not going to be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. Friends, when we die, we do not continue to grow in holiness. That's a Roman Catholic heresy that has no biblical basis. Paul says that the good work begun among the Philippians won't be complete until the day of Jesus Christ, when he returns. And that has not happened yet. The finish line for Christian growth is at the end of our earthly lives. The Philippian Christians, they're not still growing now. They're in the presence of the Lord now. And so I think this just cannot mean individual believers who are progressing in holiness. So as true as it is that God is at work in every believer to make them more like Jesus, that is true. And he will one day complete us all in Christ once we've finished the race marked out for us. That is not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the good work of building gospel partnerships. It's about joining Christians together for gospel progress, making and maturing disciples of Christ. And this is such a wonderful vision of the Lord for our lives. The partnership which God began between Paul and the Philippian church, well, that's grown and grown. New believers have been added, and old members have gone to be with the Lord. The partnership which God started in Philippi has changed and developed over time, but its influence does continue, just like the countless other gospel partnerships which God has begun all over the world. They've all been interacting with each other and developing over time, all for that one united goal, the progress of the gospel for Jesus Christ. So do you see, Paul wants the Philippian church to know the Lord has united them for gospel progress. And that's why he's confident that the Lord will finish that work among them. And so I just want to take a little bit of time to flesh that out, to see where it's all going. So fourthly, God will finish the work. God will finish the work. You know, sometimes we can act like God, in our lives, God's work is a bit like a vaccine. We took it once. We were saved by God. But now we try to continue in our own strength without God. We wouldn't actively believe that, of course. That's what things can look like in practice sometimes, though, isn't it? We can even think that the good work of gospel partnerships is something that we both start and sustain. It's our idea and we keep it going. It's easy to forget that God is the one who gives and sustains even our desires to work with each other and to love one another for gospel progress. God's work in our lives is really much more like a dialysis machine. We are saved and sustained by the continuing work of God. And we need him if we want to do anything. In fact, didn't Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing? Not without me, you can do some things or most things. Without me, you can do nothing. It's more like a dialysis machine than a vaccine. Paul's confidence here isn't that the Philippian church can have confidence to continue in themselves, but in God's ability to continue and complete. See, it's God who began the good work among us when he joined us together for gospel progress. It's God who started Wheelock Heath Baptist Church. He started various groups here that seek to make and mature gospel partnerships for gospel progress. He started every single bond of gospel partnership among us, even down to two-person prayer partnerships. And God is now sustaining them for one purpose. He's looking to that day when Christ returns. He's working among us to bring together everything needed for that day to be complete. If you know much about McDonald's, you'll know that it's been around for about 80 years. And there are restaurants now, in those 80 years, all over the world. They're not stopping. They want to continue expanding, don't they? If Chris, their CEO, I'm sure you knew that. If Chris gave a statement one day that as soon as they hit a certain target, McDonald's is going to be completely finished, completed. Well, you'd think he was a bit crazy, wouldn't you? Why would you stop? Yeah, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said about his church. He said this, "The gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Brothers and sisters, there's an end in sight. A great and glorious day is coming. We are part of a movement that has a completion date already set in heaven. Some families, you might find them annoying or endearing. Some families in the run-up to Christmas, they say things like, oh, 20 sleeps till Christmas, 15 sleeps till Christmas, 2 sleeps till Christmas. Well, friends, each Sunday that we meet together is one less Lord's Day till the day of the Lord. God's work will be complete then. Everything we do to partner in the gospel is working towards that day. And it all contributes. None of it is wasted. None of it is wasted. And we probably won't see the ripple effects of most of our gospel partnerships. But be confident that if the Lord has given you a bond of partnership in the gospel with other Christians, no matter how small the work is, then God is using it to build his church and prepare for Christ's return. You might be a helper at Wheelers or Coffee Pod, or another ministry in the church. As you join together, moved by the bowels of Christ, remember that God is at work among you to bring his church to completion on the day of Christ. What you're doing counts, it matters, and you probably won't see the ripple effects of God's work through you until Christ returns. But be assured, he is working in you, through you, to bring his work of completion to completion by the return of Christ. You might think that the Bible study that you join on a Tuesday evening will have no effect on the day of Christ. But friends, remember, everywhere that gospel partnership is happening, God is working together for good. I was converted largely because I was provoked to read the Bible after seeing some faithful Christians read the Bible and pray together in a small group. Now, I'm sure they didn't realise that just being in attendance at the group would contribute to my being saved, but it did. God is at work wherever his people are partnered together for gospel progress. God is at work in a billion different interconnected ways to shape his church for Christ's return. And as he does that, as we respond to the Spirit of Christ leading us to partner with each other for the gospel, we know that he's at work in us. Maybe you struggle with ill health, though, and you can't get involved in things that you'd otherwise love to. Can I encourage you that you can be praying for Christians here and all over the world, and even sending messages of encouragement to other Christians? And these just are two ways, two powerful ways to partner with the Lord's people for gospel progress. A prayer and sharing biblical encouragement is really vital in the life of the church, and we need people who can devote significant time to those things. I know an elderly woman who's had terrible eyesight for years. She has to squint just to read, and yet she regularly sends me messages of encouragement and she prays for me. And my faith is built up by our deep gospel partnership in the Lord. She helps me strive forward for God's glory. And when Christ returns, the many unseen effects of her prayers and messages of encouragement, they will all be completed. You might be involved in cooking food or serving drinks or setting up an evangelistic event, partnering with other believers in sacrificial love. But remember that God is at work as you partner together in the gospel. And everything you do, no matter how small, it really is contributing to the building of his church on the day he returns. Why not pray tonight about ways the Lord might be leading you to partner with his people for gospel progress? Who could you text to encourage? Who could you offer dinner so they can make it to a small group? Who could you pray for? What missionary could you support? Friends, we have a faithful God who is at work among us. He's starting and he's sustaining and he's completing the good work of gospel partnerships. And no matter how big or small these partnerships are, if they're true gospel partnerships in the Lord, we can have every confidence that because the Lord started it, he will bring it to completion. He will unravel its fruit all the way to that glorious, wonderful day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns in glory. Brothers and sisters, what an incredible joy it is to partner together in the gospel, knowing God is at work as we do that. The Lord has united us for gospel progress, so we are confident the Lord will finish that work among us. Let's just read through the passage one more time and then I'll pray. Philippians 1 verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus.